Welcome to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast with me, your host, Paula Maidens. I'm a mum of two, a hiring and leadership coach, speaker, ex-corporate recruiter, and serial entrepreneur who is obsessed with teaching capable business owners just like you how to become graceful and powerful leaders surrounded by a team who perform like rock stars. On this podcast, we'll be talking about all things people, business, and leadership because big dreams need great teams. You simply cannot do it on your own. I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive in. Hey, hey, everybody. Do you know the other day I realized that I incorporated my first business, my first company, on the 10th of February, 2010? So that first business was a HR consulting business, and it was actually a business partnership with another recruitment business. I exited that business in 2015, 2016, which was around the same time that I started my second business, which was the yoga studio. And I looked at the incorporation date of that second business, the yoga studio, and that was the 17th of Feb, 2015. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because I've obviously got something about February. I've got something about, like, you know, starting afresh, starting again. I don't know. Something happens for me in February. So it's not surprising that the February just gone had me in a period of reflecting and thinking about what I wanted to do, how my business was fitting in with my family and what I wanted the year to look like, et cetera, et cetera. But it really dawned on me this year when I was actually looking at those dates, and thank goodness for like online registers where you can look these dates up and LinkedIn profiles so I can actually have a look at these things, because time just like flies past, right? It's so easy to kind of not actually quantify and realize, wow, I've been in business for myself for 14 years. Like, I've been a business owner for 14 years. And this was part of my reflection, was thinking about 14 years, like working for myself, being responsible for my own income, profit, all the things. And if I'm honest with myself, I reckon it is only in the last 5 to 7 years that I've actually identified as an entrepreneur. Like, I've sort of accepted or chosen that label for myself. And I think that's when I saw a lot of other people becoming entrepreneurs. So today's podcast is a little bit of a combination of a personal share, so a little bit about my journey, and one of the biggest lessons, I guess, that's come out of that initial business and each business that I've started since then. And it's also come up in a few conversations that I've had with business friends lately, actually. And that is all about decision-making authority in your business. So who can make the decisions, who's got the decision-making power, and whether you give it away, whether you hold on to it, etc. So I want to take us back. I want to share a little story or share with you some reflections of my first business. I haven't shared a great deal about my first business. It was a more traditional HR consulting business, and I had a business partnership. And I exited that business. I exited that business partnership in 2016, early 2016, just before I had my first baby, who is now 7 and a bit. And the black and white reality was being in business with somebody else, being in a business partnership, was really, really challenging. That said, there were so many incredible positives that came out of that business experience that sort of, you know, went for 6 years, of course, as well as lots of lessons and lots of challenges. And the reflection that I want to share today is that decision making in your business needs to be crystal clear if you want the operations of your business to flow and ultimately grow. Whether that's in a business partnership, which was my situation, whether you're in a collaboration, whether you're in a traditional employer-employee relationship, or if you're in a, like, you know, leader, subcontractor type of arrangement, who can decide what to what level is critical if you want to get out of that scrappy, reactionary, all hands on deck, everyone's involved in all the things, flying by the seat of your pants mode of operandi. So in my first business with my business partner, we were in a 50-50 setup. And often that made decision-making really, really hard. So, you know, he owned 50%, I owned 50%. And although our roles were clearly defined, so our roles in the business were clearly defined, the decision-making authority was often a little bit gray. which meant that we had to keep checking things with each other, which upon reflection, I can now see crystal clearly slowed things down and often meant things came to a standstill if we didn't agree. And it's really interesting because this conversation has come up with my clients a lot, and it's come up with my business friends recently when we're talking about, you know, bringing in, you know, husbands to the businesses, having collaborations, etc. It's like all of those things can be really great, but where they can come unstuck is if there's a lack of clarity around decision-making power. And the way I hear this causing challenges for my clients is through the frustration of being constantly asked questions by your team, the team checking in with my client all the time, my client feeling bound to having to constantly check Slack, check email, check in and be on, in inverted commas. So my clients constantly feel this frustration, and I'm sure that you feel it too. And often it's the little questions that feel annoying and potentially unnecessary. And sometimes it's a big question that requires a lot of your thinking power, and then you feel pressure to think, respond, decide quickly. And when I see this in my clients, what I know is, so if you're feeling like you're the center and everybody's asking you to, you know, answer things for them, you know, if everybody's coming to you for lots of little things and lots of big things, and you feel like you're really like tied to the business insofar as if I don't get back to these people, these things won't happen, then typically there's a lack of clarity around the people in your team's decision-making authority. And there can be two prongs, I guess, to what might be going wrong there. Either people don't realize that they can make a decision on little things and maybe some big things, or they aren't confident to make a decision on the thing that you'd like them to. And on the flip side, through my experience, you know, in this consulting and coaching world, working with businesses of all shapes and sizes for the last, you know, 17 plus years, on the flip side, I've also seen the amount of frustration that it can cause in the team member, in the other person, whether they're an employee, whether they're a collaborator, or in my case, as a business partner, when you don't have clear decision-making power that you need to be able to get on with the things that your role requires you to do. And if you find yourself chasing someone and they're not responsive or they're not available, and it holds you up. So it's like, you know, it can be really frustrating if when you have the role, when you hand over the role to someone on your team, but you don't give them clear decision making, and then they're always having to circle back to you. And if you're not available because maybe you're in client meetings or you're away or something like that, or you're just not online and it holds them up, that can be incredibly frustrating for them. So the lesson and the reflection that I want to share with you today is that clear decision making authority and clear decision making power is an essential part of the successful operations of any team in every single business. So let me talk you through lots of examples from my career and lots of examples from my clients. So I spent the first 7 years of my career working in a big bank in Australia, and my second job in that bank was in foreign exchange. So clients would come to us and say, hey, I need to buy, you know, $1 million US or I need to buy €1 million because they were purchasing something from overseas. And we would give them a rate and we would sell them the US dollars or the euro, and we would buy their Australian dollars from them. Now, in that role, I had a really clear authority about what I was and wasn't allowed to do. And the authority that was given to me, the decision-making power that was assigned to me, related to the size of the parcel of money that I was allowed to price and sell or buy. So I had authority and decision-making power to a certain point, and it was crystal clear to me. I think at the end of my reign in that role, it was probably like, I want to say $2 million Australian. And I think when I started, it was probably capped at about $100,000. And that worked really well because when the phone rang, I could take the call, find out what the client wanted. I could look at the market price. I could apply, you know, a margin that I thought was appropriate to the deal. I could tell the client the price without checking with anybody, as long as the Australian dollar equivalent amount was less than that nominated figure. And if it was more than that, I knew I had to put the client on hold and I had to go and get approval from somebody more senior to me, no doubt because somebody much more senior and much smarter than me had made that decision based on the risk of me making a pricing mistake. And they had decided that somebody should check my price over a certain amount because the potential of that mistake was greater than their risk appetite. Now, you know yourself, I'm sure you've experienced it. You might ring up a call center and you ask for a quote and you can, you know, you go through a standard process up until a certain point when things get complicated or they get non-standard and they might need to check with a supervisor. This is decision-making authority that you see in action and you experience in action for yourself in every business that you encounter, probably every single day. Now, what I know to be true is when we first start out in business as entrepreneurs, when we first hire people, when we first are going through that stage of, you know, handing over some of the reins, getting support, letting other people run our operations of our business or getting their support to run our operations of the business, we want to hang on to control because, frankly, we're scared of the mistakes that might be made and we're scared of something going wrong and we're scared of somebody not doing things in the right way. And when we're holding on to that control, what we typically do is we also hold on to decision-making authority, or we either hold on to it consciously or we hold on to it by not being explicit about the decision-making authority and the decision-making power that we're handing over to the person that we've hired. However, this fear of this mistake, this fear of something going wrong, which leads to you wanting to hold on to control, hold on to tight to things, double check things, get people to run things past you, et cetera, et cetera. All that checking is the thing that will stop your business flowing and growing on so many levels. What happens is it keeps your business stuck at the size of which you can double check things. You know, your business will get stuck at the size which, if you can imagine, you know, the size of which you can wrap your arms around the business and keep double checking things and being across all the things. That's where your business growth will get stuck. What also happens is you get stuck being in the business because your arms are wrapped all around the business. You need to be in the business every single day, multiple times a day, et cetera, checking, approving, reviewing, et cetera. And the other thing which often you may not realize is that it'll, of course, frustrate you, but the part that you may not realize is it'll really frustrate your team. So it'll keep you stuck as so far as the type of people that will want to work in your team and will stay on your team. So getting good at getting clear about who's got what decision-making authority and handing it over to people early in your business growth is really, really important. And naturally, this is new to most people, and therefore it's just a skill you need to learn and flex so that you get comfortable with it as soon as you can if you're wanting to grow. Because people having clarity of role, where their role is, what their responsibilities are, and what decision-making power they have, those three things are the core of the engine that will run the operations of your business. And we all want to have businesses that can function without us, even to a little bit, and then eventually maybe a lot. We all want that as entrepreneurs growing businesses. You know, we all want revenue to be able to continue in, you know, when we're taking a day off, when we're sick, when we're going to our grandmother's funeral, like I did recently. We all want that. And to be able to have that, we need other people to know what their role is, what their responsibilities are, and what decisions they can make without checking with you. Now, this decision-making authority, this decision-making power, it can be really big, but it also can be really super small. It can be things like drafting and responding to an email without checking it with anybody else. It can be replying to a comment on social media and being able to choose whatever emojis they want to use. It can be issuing a refund up to a certain amount. It can be making a payment out of a bank account. It can be publishing something to your website without having to check it with anybody. It can be designing a sales page. It can be writing the copy. It can be sending a marketing brochure off to the printer without running the final version past you. It can be emailing a client to ask for a testimonial. It can be quoting for new business. It can be putting a price out there. It can be reorganizing the tagging in your email system. It can be cleaning up your Google Drive. You know, these are a bunch of little things, little decision-making powers that you may feel comfortable handing over. And they may be little things that people are currently bouncing back and checking with you because you haven't been explicit. So if any of these things that I've rattled off ring true, or any of these things, or there are things like this where you think this person keeps checking all these things with me and I don't know why, and I've told them to go and make decisions, I've told them I want them to be proactive, then I want you to think about how explicit you've been about their decision-making power to do the things that fall within their role, and how explicit you've been about when you want them to check things with you, when you want them to escalate things to you. So coming back to my example in the bank, when I was in my foreign exchange dealer role, it was explicit that I could price and speak to a client and do a full deal end to end up to a certain point. When I first started, when I was brand new into the role, it was only $100,000. And as I progressed and became more senior in my role and more like a supervisor, I think it got up to sort of $2 million. I hope my boss isn't listening to this and thinking it was never $2 million, Paul, it was $1 million, because I'm a little bit fuzzy on the amount. But, you know, it was explicit, certainly at the time. And in fact, I think I may have even had it written down on a piece of paper, restuck on my computer, because that's what I used to do with all the really important things. I'd stick it there. So the more explicit you can be, the more tangible, measurable the person can make it, the more authority you're handing over, and the more ability you're giving them to be really proactive and just to get on with things, which I know is what everybody wants. Whenever I talk to any brand new client who's feeling frustrated with their team or wants to hire someone new, the things that they always say is, I want someone who's proactive, who'll come with ideas, who'll demonstrate initiatives, et cetera, et cetera. So I know that you listening to this, you want those things too. You can't ask somebody to be proactive or expect them to demonstrate initiative if you haven't been explicit and given them the safety of where you want that initiative and proactivity channeled. So all these big and little situations that I've talked about, all these micro decisions, and some of them are macro decisions, they've got this massive potential to slow your business down if the person in the role either needs to check or isn't sure if they should check this thing with you. And on the flip side, when the person doesn't know, if they haven't been told explicitly, and they're the sort of person who really wants to make sure they're doing the right thing and they want to please you and they want to do the role in the best way they can and they're cautious in nature, then of course they're going to wait for your approval. They're going to double check things when potentially it's not necessary, which in turn will also cause your business to slow down or even come to a halt if it's on a day when, you know, you can't log on, when you weren't planning to log on, or when you just didn't want to be available. So the big lesson and the reflection here is that every single person in your business needs to have a clearly defined role, which means a list of things that they're in charge of. And that list needs clarification on what decision-making authority, what decision-making power they have in relation to each of those, you know, responsibilities and functions that you want them to do. And I really want to encourage all of you listening to think about and really review this. Have I defined everyone's decision-making authority? Where is there potential for me to think, of course, that's obvious that you can just go ahead and do that, but potentially it hasn't been said or it's not explicit? Maybe have a think about some of the questions that you've been asked in the last week or two or three that felt to you like they were unnecessary, and see that as an opportunity to clean up. Maybe you didn't realize that I was okay with you making a decision about that. Maybe they didn't realize that they didn't need to check the colors in the design with me. Maybe they didn't realize that they could just go ahead and make those decisions on our behalf. Maybe they didn't know that they're safe to do that. Now, you'll probably find, as you're thinking around or thinking about the different people in your team, you'll probably find that the people have worked with you for a number of years. This has just happened organically over time. They know what they can do without checking. They go and make decisions about the right things and they know when to check with you. And now that's great. Absolutely. It's great that that happens organically with people who've worked with you for a long time. But the reality is as you grow, you're going to bring in brand new people and you don't want it to take years for them to turn into feeling like that person who's been with you years who now operates like a rock star because they're proactive, they show initiative, they run with things, they own the job, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to be explicit for every single person in your business, especially anybody who's newish. What is their decision-making authority, if any? Where do they have free rein to go totally nuts, do what they need to do, you know, apply their creativity, make decisions and just go for it? And where is it that you need them to check things with you? And where does any decision-making authority that you are happy to hand over, where does it start and where does it stop? So think about me in the bank. What's the limit? Where do you want them to cap out? So if you're thinking of like somebody who can issue refunds, you know, maybe you've got a membership or something like that. If somebody, you know, you get a refund request and it falls within a set period, then maybe they can go ahead and do that. But if it falls outside the period or if it's a particularly large amount or something like that, maybe you want them to check it with you. So where does that decision-making authority start and stop? And I guess the other thing I just want to say is, although I'm absolutely 100% encouraging you to hand over decision-making power to your team, to not hold on to all that control, that need to review, that need to approve everything yourself, I'm encouraging you to hand it over. There will be some team members where you don't, it's not appropriate to give them anything, in which case you say, I don't want you to make any decisions. Just follow this SOP, for example. So I want you to know that if you don't hand over decision-making authority to somebody, it puts lots more pressure on you having a really clear, explicit process. So your SOP, your standard operating process that the person needs to follow, because that is where the decisions are laid out for them. And you're saying to them, just follow this and don't vary from it. And if that's what you choose to do, then what it also means is somebody needs to be available to them if they face a situation that varies from the standard process. That might be have to be you or it might have to be somebody else. So you can see that if that's the choice that you consciously make, fine, but know that the knock-on effect is you need to have really great processes that's laid out exactly what they do. And then if they face something that falls outside of it, they're going to have to check it with somebody. Okay, so before we wrap up this conversation about the critical importance of handing over decision-making power and authority, I want to say one last thing, and that is the earlier that you can decide, get clear on this, and state it to the other person, the better. And when I say that, I mean you want to be clear on this right back as early as when you're hiring. Because if you hire somebody who really likes having lots of decision-making power, decision-making authority, that's their way they used to rolling with things in their previous roles, and you're the sort of person who wants to hold that back and not hand over too much, certainly not in the early days, and they only find that out later, maybe after they've accepted the job, then it's not going to work for them and they'll probably leave. Similarly, if you hire someone who doesn't like having lots of decision-making authority, because those people 100% also exist, you know, those people who want to just have really clear rules and really clear processes where they're following something that's clearly laid out in front of them, and you tell them that you want them to be proactive and use their judgment, and when something is, you know, put in front of them that's a little bit out of left center, just to make a decision and to run with it, if you hire someone who doesn't really like working that way and that's what you ask of them once they're in the job, after you've offered them the job, then it won't be a fit for them. And they'll either freeze in the job or they'll bombard you with questions and it's not going to feel great and it's not going to last. So decision-making a power and decision-making authority is really big. And I want this to be a muscle that you start flexing early and you get used to handing over. So if you've listened to this and you're feeling like totally overwhelmed with, oh my goodness, I can't possibly do this. What if everything goes wrong? Then just start with the little things. Start with, you know, writing out and handing over and making explicit all the tiny decisions that don't matter to you, and work your way up to, well, what are the bigger decisions that eventually I'd like someone to be able to run with? And then start to think to yourself, what training, what would they need to demonstrate to me for me to be able to feel safe handing that bigger thing over? So I hope today's little reflection that's come from me pondering my 14 years in business has helped you today. And I'd love to hear if you struggle with handing over decision-making authority and decision-making power to people. Maybe you've done it in the past and it's gone pear-shaped and you're not quite sure why, or maybe you just really like being in control. That's just a preferred way and you're not quite sure how to move yourself out of that preferred mode of operandi in a way that keeps you feeling safe and in control. Either way, I would love to hear what's landed, whether you find this easy or hard. Send me a message over on Instagram. I love to hang out in the DMs over there. My handle is Paula Maidens Consulting, or shoot me a review and share it on socials. I'll be back here next week, and that is all for today. Have a good one, everybody.